At the stations of Coast Community Radio and on demand at coastradio.org, you are tuned to Village Square. This is your host, Michel Mayfern. Village Square is the locally produced program about what causes people to get involved in local politics and to be excited about it. Every month, I plan to invite local leaders to discuss with them their motivations for being active on the political scene. I hope this will help us all know them better so we can all have a civil conversation and not be disagreeable even if we disagree. I hope to have guests from all segments of the political spectrum. Today, we will talk with the chair of the Clatsop County Democrats, Lawrence Taylor. Welcome to the show. Well, Larry, first of all, please describe a little bit for our listening audience how you became the chair of the Clatsop County Democrats, what the functions are of that position, and what your motivation was when you pursued the position.
About 15 years ago, I was attending a meeting of the Rural Organizing Project, and at the meeting was one of the representatives from the Democratic Party of Oregon, who was also an activist, and he was saying that the elections were coming up for precinct committee people, and this was a way to get involved in the politics of the state. And I found that very intriguing because I'd never heard of a precinct committee person, and I didn't know how the Democratic Party worked. I had ideas that there was some evil force in the background that was making all the decisions for everyone. At the time, I lived in Portland in Multnomah County, and so I got the form to run for a precinct committee person, and I filed it, and sure enough, when the ballots came out, my name was on the slip of paper, and so I checked off the box and sent it in, and of course, like most precinct committee people, there was no opposition, so I was elected to office, and then I waited for someone to contact me and tell me what to do next, because I was I figured this was this well-oiled machine out there working, and nothing happened, and finally I got a notice that the meeting was going to be in 4 weeks, and there was a phone number, and the week before the meeting was to occur, I called up and said, so what's going to happen? And they go, oh, well, the meeting's been postponed. And so I went to the postponed meeting, and I walked in, and I sat down, and it was all disorganized, and I walked up to someone who looked like they were in charge, and I said, hey, I want to get involved. What can I do? And they said, do you own a computer? And I go, yeah. And they said, well, would you like to be elected secretary? And I go, sure. And so they elected to be secretary of the Multnomah County Democrats, which ostensibly represents 800,000 people or something like that. You know, it was a very small organization. It was really at its low ebb at that point. And then 2 years later, I ran for chair of Multnomah County and was elected to that. And then at the end of that term was the point in time I bought the house in Astoria and moved out here. And I didn't get involved in local politics for a couple of years. I was mostly involved in the River Theater and in the AVA back when we were doing the restoration of the Fort Astoria mural. And then the local committee, they had an absence in the chair's position, and they asked me if I wanted to do it. And I knew everyone was involved. I had worked on Jackie Taylor's campaign earlier, and I knew John McKesson and a number of the people out here, and so I said, sure, that would be fun to do. And so I got involved, and what I found out that there is no well-oiled machine out there. It's actually people making incremental differences, and it's actually very difficult because the parties are very weak. There's, you know, everything is driven by money, and the parties don't have any money, and so they don't have an overwhelming amount of influence, and you find all the decisions being made by lobbyists and politicians down in Salem, and it's all driven by money. So what I've been trying to do is find ways for the Democratic Party to represent the people in changing the policies of the state.
What would you say are the roots of your interest in politics? Do you remember the occasion or occasions when you knew or decided that you would devote some of your energy to politics?
Like I said, I'd been involved in the Rural Organizing Project, and that was really in response to some of the real horrid ballot measures that were coming out of the late 1980s and early 1990s. And that was sort of the roots of my activism. And the woman who was running it then is still running it now, Marcy Westerling, who is she's now moving on to do organizing nationally. And what the Rural Organizing Project is all about is empowering people that are not in the urban areas to have a voice in politics and stand up for themselves. I think the roots of what I do is based in what I got from my father, which was a sense of equality and fairness. And it sounds like a common attribute of Americans or of people, but it's really kind of unique to America.
Were there different views inside of your family of origin?
Well, my family was mostly blue-collar class. My whole family is loggers. I was born in Dallas, Oregon. My parents lived in Falls City and then in Dallas. And then when I was a kid, they moved to Northern California, and that's where I went to school. But he basically went where the jobs were. And then when the timber ran out there, he moved back to Southern Oregon, and that's where they finished off their lives.
Did your dad participate in unions, or did you know that he would vote for the Democratic candidate when elections came around, or how did that go?
I was vaguely aware that they were Democrats, but like most kids, I wasn't overly political. And it took me a long time to realize that, you know, as they say, all politics is local. I thought, you know, the most important things was the president and the senators, and why would anyone run for local office? And I've come to realize that it's really the local politicians, the county commissioners and the mayor and the city council and all the appointed things like the planning commission and the budget committee, where all the decisions are really being made that have a direct effect on our lives.
Do you have mentors? Are there contemporary or historical personalities that you see as models for public service?
As I got older, I developed a greater appreciation for democracy and what we have here in the United States. And in the past 10 years, I've been studying a lot about what happened during the constitutional conventions and the formation and the reformation of the government of the United States. And it's really interesting in reading through that, because one of the things that is valued at the place where I work is the concept of group intelligence, where people get together and they talk up through things and they come up with something better than any individual would do themselves. And that's basically what the Constitutional Convention was that formed the United States. It was people coming together from all the colonies, and you know, they were exceptionally educated people, and they worked out this marvelous document that's our Constitution today.
When you think of public service, do you think of serving the people, the land, some ideas? What has most traction for you?
Right now, my passion is getting voice to the people. And, you know, I'm not a Democrat because I like choosing sides, and it's like Coke versus Pepsi. There really is a difference between the two. And of either of the parties, I think the one that has the most chance of representing the public is the Democratic Party. And so what I'm trying to do now is take the voice of the people and give them representation in Salem. I had a really interesting discussion with Mary Nolan, who's the majority whip in the House, and I was saying that it just feels like there's no one representing the public down there. There's people representing the unions, and there's people representing businesses, and people representing companies, but there's no one who's the voice of the public. And they said, well, we're ordinary people, we represent you. But I just find that really difficult to believe when you watch their behavior.
What is the most important part of the Democratic program for you, the things on the platform that excite you the most?
Well, that's an interesting question, because there's these things that that are very hard to articulate, that differentiate the different political parties. We all have a sense of what a Republican is and what a Democrat is and what a Green Party member is, but it's really difficult to write those down and articulate them. And if you get 10 people of the same party in the room, you probably have a food fight over what the document really represents. And so it's very difficult to distill the beliefs of one party into a document. And I find the current platform of the Democratic Party of Oregon a little frustrating, because it's part of the big tent effort and to be inclusive, and it gets watered down. It ends up being too open-ended and too open to interpretation. And the Republicans have done the same thing. You read through their platform, at least the way it was a couple of years ago, and they talk about equality and freedom. But then you read other parts of it, and you know, they go after minority groups, and it's their version of equality and freedom. It's not for everyone.
So are you a member of a particular tendency within the Democratic Party on the spectrum from the right, center, and to the left, where do you find yourself in most issues?
I am a little left of center. You know, I'm not a crazy environmentalist. The earth is important because we live here and it's got to be sustainable. Yeah, okay. And we're finding that if you kill off a portion of the ecosystem, it has a grave effect on other parts of it, and it's all interrelated, and we can't be obtuse about what we do. You know, the trees are an important part of generating oxygen, and if we cut them all down, then, you know, where does the oxygen come from? Well, does it come from somewhere else? Well, it comes from the Amazon. Well, what are they doing down there? They're cutting down all the trees. And it's all related.
What is the most difficult part of being involved in politics? What sort of mind or attitude does one need to bring to that activity?
Just as you said, it's important to... And it's very difficult to keep the discourse civil and based on facts. That's what I try to do whenever I run meetings and when I have discussions with people. Because when you start deviating from the facts and you're getting into emotion, that's when all logic goes outside of the door. And it's very difficult to arrive at anything. So what I try to do is keep things fact-based.
And now, conversely, what is the most interesting part of being involved in politics? On what ground would you recommend someone getting involved? And by the way, how would people go about it in the Democratic Party?
The most exciting thing is when you see tangible results. And because it's a democratic process and democracy is messy, it's often not fast enough for many people who like more instantaneous results. For example, the LNG issue, we got a resolution passed at the state level that opposes LNG terminals. And we could use that then in our conversations with legislatures, especially the Democrats, saying, you know, this is the what your party passed. Why are you voting the way you're voting on this issue? But again, it's ideas versus money, and politicians are always driven by, you know, how they're going to be reelected and fundraising, and many times that takes precedence.
So it seems like really the political process is very much overshadowed by the lobbyists.
That's my impression, yeah. And then your other question was, how do you get involved? Yeah. This is actually a very timely question, because starting February 1st, is when everyone of all the political parties can go register to run for a precinct committee person slot. And this is sort of the grassroots rung of all the political parties. Once you get elected to that position in the fall, then there will be elections for your local officials. So both the Republican and the Democratic Party will be electing their chairs and their vice chairs and their delegates to the state central organizations. And those delegates then will be electing the state chairs. Sometimes the elections are very contentious, and sometimes there's no opposition, which is unfortunate because elected officials always need to be reminded that they're elected by the public.
Well, let's say somebody is interested in becoming a precinct committee person. What sort of time commitment does that represent?
The time commitment is not great. Both parties tend to have monthly meetings. What they do at the meetings is completely up to the membership, really. You know, one of the things that I've learned over the years is that we all have more power than we think we have, and we don't have to stand back and wait for someone else to do something. We can all step up and do things ourselves. The parties often have a split between the more conservative branch and the more liberal branches, and so even within the parties you get a lot of discussion. If you happen to be a member of one and the other half is in power, then you've got to have a lot of willpower and stamina and nerve to go into those meetings and basically swim against the tide and point out things that you don't agree with and have those kinds of discussions and debates and just not run on assumptions.
Inherent lack of power is one, but do you think there are other misconceptions out there about what it means to be politically active?
There are a lot of people who seem to run away from politics because it's dirty. What's really interesting is that when the United States was formed, they were really tired of political parties, and they did their best to eliminate political parties from the process. But there seems to be this natural tendency of people to form into two camps and oppose each other. And, you know, at one point, the Democratic Party was born. You know, at one time we had the Federalists. The Republican Party has been around for a long time. but there just seems to be this natural tendency to divide into two camps. And it's really a good thing in that you get to have a discussion on the ideas. It's really unfortunate when one political party becomes an overwhelming dominant force and eliminates the discussion.
What is your feeling regarding the current climate, the level of debate, the acrimony that seems to be there? What are your thoughts about that?
Both at the state and the federal level, the acrimony is very unfortunate, and I don't think they're able to have dialogues. I think President Obama stepped into office with the greatest intentions of fostering those kinds of debates, and as he's found out, Washington is so entrenched in the politics that they forget that the reason why we're doing things is for the public. I watched the healthcare debate, and especially the teabaggers from last August, and it just astonishes me. We have, in some rankings, the 19th best healthcare system. You know, there's people who think that we have the best. Well, what we have the best of is the best hospitals and the best technology. The system itself is very, very... I'm fortunate because I have good healthcare, because I have an employer who believes in that sort of thing. But if I were to lose my job tomorrow, I would not have healthcare, unless I paid an enormous amount of money to maintain my current policy. That is just... it's just not fair. And, you know, we're now starting to hear the stories about people who get hung out to dry because they lose their job, or, you know, they end up getting some catastrophic illness that wipes out all of their savings. That's just not what a humane society should be all about. As much as they like to use the word socialist and the more people-oriented countries in Europe, you know, the intent of the government is to serve the people and do what's best for the people. And to get away from the labels. And really, healthcare is something that they've been trying to do since the 1930s. And even though, because Congress seems to be a sausage factory, we're not going to end up with anything that makes everyone happy. As Ron Wyden pointed out earlier this year, it's a good start, and you have to start somewhere and improve it as you go along. When Social Security was first introduced, it was not nearly as comprehensive as it is today, and they were able to make adjustments over the years, so it's much, much better.
So overall, how do you feel about participatory democracy? What works? What does not work? What gives you cause for concern? What gives you reason for hope at this point?
The biggest cause of concern is the apathy in the general public. I'm still searching for the secret on how to turn that around. There are so many people who are willing to let someone else make the decisions, and they're not necessarily the best ones. The people who were doing the recalls found out that the residents were unaware of who their county commissioner were. They didn't know who represented them. And the county commissioners make, you know, not often do they make relevant decisions, but periodically one does come along that does impact the region. And, you know, there's so many areas that are being neglected in the county. Water quality is one of them. We're probably going to have water wars at some point in the future. Everyone seems to pretend that the water districts are discrete entities, but actually they're all part of a greater ecosystem, and what they do in one area affects another one. Domestic violence is something that you never really hear talked about, but it's something that's just an absolute tragedy that in our culture in the United States, domestic violence and child abuse goes on at the levels that it does. It's just criminal. The support for the rehabilitation programs at the county level, you know, there's so much work that could be done that's preventative before things get out of control and really destroy people's lives.
So we discussed becoming precinct committee persons, but are there other ways that the people that might be interested in that can get involved?
It was interesting hearing David Wu talk earlier this year. Someone asked him what was the most impactful thing for him to receive that would change his mind on an issue. And he said that the most important thing for him is to get a letter from a constituent that was clearly not something that had been composed by someone else, but really something that someone had sat down and spent time with, writing and sent off to him. If they get a stack of letters that are 200... and they're all identical, they basically dismiss them all. But for him, it's the thoughtful letter. And, you know, for someone who comes from a math background, it would probably drive you nuts because you know that that's not statistically representative of anything. The small percentage of people that show up at the town halls and scream are not representative of the broader public. And so the only poll that they really adhere to is the elections that happen every 2 years. And everything in between is a crapshoot on their part for doing what's right so they can get reelected.
Talking about the political personnel in Salem and Washington, are there some people there that you admire, that people that you think are good servants of the public?
Oregon is blessed with so many great people. You know, John Kroger is just an amazing attorney general and is doing things that have been neglected for a number of years. Kate Brown, the Secretary of State, is also just a very thoughtful person. We got a memo recently of changes in administrative rulings that she's doing, and she's really taking her job seriously and cleaning up some messy administrative rules that drove people nuts. I think we have some excellent candidates running for governor next year. Both Bill Bradbury and John Kitzhaber are excellent people. There's members of the Senate and the House that are really good. Our own Senator Johnson is a very, very wonderful representative and a delightful person to work with. Portland, you know, is a generator for many of the more progressive candidates, and they produced a lot of great people over the years. Astoria used to be a generator of lots of people. In fact, the house I live in was built by the Secretary of State who served from 1899 to 1907. That was back when Astoria was going to become the New York of the West.
Oh, yeah. Larry, we are at the end of our conversation, believe it or not. Time flew. Is there a thought that you would like to leave our audience with this morning?
I really wish people would read the papers and pay attention to what their local politicians are doing, because you can't assume that they're doing what's in your best interest.
Larry, many thanks for being here today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
This was Lawrence Taylor, the chair of the Clatsop County Democrats. And for Village Square, this is Michelle Mifron signing off. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.